I hope these lessons are coinciding with things that you need in your life. I mean, I am amazed at the things that I'm studying that I need at that moment in time. You know, and that's just the way our Lord does. He gives us what we need when we need it. So let's go into prayer. Lord, we just thank you for this day. We just thank you, Lord God, for again another opportunity to come and learn about you, Lord God. Oh, Father, to understand you more, Lord God, and even to come to love you more, Lord God. Oh, Father, we just thank you for all that you've done. We just thank you for another Sunday morning. Lord, again, we thank you for the coming of spring because you are faithful to us in that, that you always do what you say you will do. Your word stands the test of time. And your word has said, as long as the earth remains, there will be summer, winter, springtime, and harvest. So, Lord, we thank you for the faithfulness of springtime. Lord, we thank you for your many blessings. And, Lord, I pray that this word does not return to you void. Oh, Lord God, we mean that, that it accomplishes what you have sent it forth to do, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord.
That it takes root, Lord God, and grows up in our life, Lord God. Oh, Lord, that we will no longer be children tossed to and fro. Oh, Lord, but we would stand in you. Having done all to stand, we will stand there for.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, God, we thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
For your word. And we thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 As you can see, we've got a little demonstration going on today. So just something that came to my mind just to talk about intimacy. We're going to be finishing up today talking about hallowing this name, the bridegroom. Last time we were here, we talked again about praying this name and how our prayers, when we think about Christ as a bridegroom, our prayer should be a little different. It shouldn't be about requesting and asking, give me God this, give me that, do this for us, Lord, do that for that, me, Lord. But it has to do more with loving him, just loving him. You know, I tell you, you will not be disappointed if you fall in love with Jesus. You know, I mean, people's like, oh, no, I don't want because he's going to have me do all this stuff. But I'm telling you, you will not be disappointed. You will love that you're there. You don't have, I mean, don't, I know we're so jaded. A lot of us are jaded because of human love and what human love has done to us. But I'm telling you, you can trust this lover. You can trust him. You can trust this bridegroom. So when you pray, we talked about praying this name and praying just love on him. Just love on him. Before you start asking all your requests, just love on him and watch you change. You will change toward Christ and you'll understand who he is much better. And today we're going to talk about hallowing or holding sacred the name of the bridegroom. So just to begin, first comment we have on your notes is, in order to allow, to hallow and hold sacred Christ's name as the bridegroom, you must step outside of your understanding of physical intimacy and move with him into spiritual intimacy. So this demonstration I have here, these two bottles, I want to demonstrate for you just the difference. You know, it's a crude example, but I think it brings home the point. I really believe the Holy Spirit just kind of helped me put this together so that we could understand this. So I have two bottles, obviously, and the bottles represent us. It represents humans. You know, there's dirt in it because we're sinners, okay? So our water is not clear. You know, Jesus, you know, while we were yet sinners, he came and he died for us. So that's what the dirt represents, is that this is how we are. And when you see two people, as close as they are, and the closest we know is husband and wife, you know, as close as they can be, they still remain two individuals. I can push these bottles together and push them together, but they're still going to be two bottles, two separate individuals, because that's physical intimacy has its limits. You know, the individuals are still going to have their own wants, their own desires, their own opinions. They're not necessarily one person because physical intimacy kind of limits us. But remember what Christ prayed. Christ did, when he was praying in the garden in John, he was talking about, he prayed this prayer to his Father. He said, then your love for me will be in them, and I will be in them. And that's the difference with the spiritual intimacy. The empty space in these bottles represents your spirit. As much in love as these two people may be, they cannot fill each other's spirit. That is a place that is set aside for Christ, and Christ alone can fill that area. I've seen some of the most loneliest people I've ever met have been married people, because this space is still not filled. You know, and sometimes, you know, if you, you know, you want that person to fill these things, you know, but they can't. They can't fill that empty space, because that intimacy can only go so far, and then it can't go any further. And then, if you will, this represents Christ, okay? The blood of Jesus, okay? And so when Christ comes and you accept him into your heart, he starts to fill that void. This is a different type of intimacy. This is an intimacy as he prayed in the garden that day. As he prayed, he asked, Father, let me be in them. So he comes, and he comes to be in you. I'm just going to leave it right there just for now. And when he comes in you, he fills that void. And he also changes you. So a change has taken place now in this person. This person is different now. And you'll see that Christ is working on them. Yeah, there's still some dirt in there, guys, because the work he begun in us, he continues to perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. So you still see those specks of dirt, but I'm telling you, Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, will continue to work here and work here, and he changes you and makes you different. And this, folks, is a picture of true intimacy. He is intimate in your spirit. He changes you, and that's why your love for the bridegroom, this bridegroom, is different than any other love you can ever know. See, this bridegroom, I mean, he is the ultimate in intimacy. And that's why I believe, I know this is why he says, whoever loves mother, father, sister, brother, husband, wife, son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Because your love for him has got to come first. Your love, and I'll tell you, if you love him first, you will love all these other folks better. If you love Christ, you can love your husband or wife better. If you love Christ, Christ will show you how to love that person, because, see, Christ is in that person too. So as Christ gets into both people, oh my goodness, then that's intimacy, because he connects the two like no other connection there can be. When Christ connects the two, oh my goodness. You know, I mean, we do it at the wedding. You know, they take the wedding vows, and we get holy matrimony, we call it, because it's before the Lord God. But I'm telling you, when Christ comes into the situation, it changes everything. Because, see, he can communicate. See, he's one. He's one. So he can communicate to these two people. You know, and he fills that void. And when he fills that void within you, there is a satisfaction that takes place that no one else can do. You know, so I tell you, don't try to get humans. As much as you love them, as much as they love you, they cannot fill the void that Jesus Christ fills. And that's why, people, you can do all kind of things. You can have all kind of money. You can have the best spouse. You can have children all around you loving you. But I'm telling you, there's still a void until you know Jesus Christ. And then, oh my goodness, I'm filled. I'm satisfied. Because I'm filled. There's no void left in me. You know, and then I can love this person better. Because I'm not trying to get this person to fill me up. You know, because sometimes we want, you know, if you can remember how this was half full, sometimes we want that person to pour themselves into us. And they do, but they end up empty.
Yeah.
They end up empty. So, because they can't pour all themselves into us and fill us up. It takes Jesus Christ to fill us up. So I hope you're just getting the point in that little demonstration. Lord, showing me that. I said, you know, God, that is true. Because you're in us. You know, you fill us. So now I can be satisfied. You can be satisfied as a single person. You know, you're not on the hunt all the time. Looking for somebody to fill my void, because... But when you got Jesus Christ, you know, you're filled. You're filled all the way. You're satisfied. I'm telling you. You know, so enjoy where Christ has you, and learn what he's trying to do in your life, and allow him to do that. So in physical intimacy, two beings cannot take up the same space. Their oneness is dictated by what the physical will allow. They will always be separate beings, even within their souls. They have a separate mind, they have a separate will, and they have separate emotions. Although their wills and emotions may agree sometimes, this can always change because they are of two minds. Okay, and that's why Jesus said, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Because he comes in and he changes your mind. I mean, I'm amazed at the things that I don't even want to do anymore. I used to want to do, I mean, they weren't necessarily sinful, you know, but I just don't have a desire to do certain things anymore because he's changed me. And I'm different, and now his desires have become my desires. You know, and oh boy, I tell you, I mean, this intimacy thing, folks, you want to get intimacy. And I'm happier. I'm happier because he has changed my mind. You know, don't buy into this stuff. Oh man, you're just being mind control over at that church. Those born agains, you know, they're just changing. They're just brainwashing you. Don't buy into that stuff. That is a lie. That is a lie. Jesus Christ came to do something good in humanity. And if you don't have it, you're missing out. And that's what Satan wants. He wants you to keep missing out on things. So just understanding that difference between the physical and the spiritual, and don't put that burden on other people to try to fill you, because they can't do that. Only the bridegroom can fill that void in you. Your children can't do it. You know, sometimes we try to keep our children close and don't want them to do anything, and because let them go, because Christ has to fill that void in you. Christ has to fill that void. So allow him to keep filling you. And you know, I put this demonstration, but the filling doesn't happen usually all at once. It takes time. You accept him, and then you have to move into him. Let him fill you up more and more and more. And even again and again and again, because we're always, as you're giving out, you're giving out Christ all the time. He's got to fill you again and again and replenish you. That's why we're at church all the time, because we need a refilling. You know, that's why you need daily prayer, because I need a refilling. I used up yesterday's prayer. I need today's prayer. So you want to refill. You want that intimacy. And spiritual intimacy, the two can truly become one. The union is not limited by the laws of physics. And as Jesus said, then your love for me will be in them, and I will be in them, from John 17:26. Christ's spirit actually comes and lives within your spirit. And as he grows in you, you will experience becoming a new creation. As the scripture says, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You change. In fact, you change right before people's eyes. They're like, man, I remember the time when if I would have done that, you would have.
Yeah.
You can fill in the blank. But now you're different because he's making you into a new creation. As the scripture has said, the intimacy of the bridegroom runs so much deeper than anything we have ever experienced. This is another reason why the bridegroom has said, the person who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who really loves me. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal. See, there you go. See, there's the blessing of everything. And I will reveal myself to him, and I will make myself real to him. That's from John 14:21. You need to write that down. I wish that was in the note. John 14:21, and I just read from the Amplified Bible. You've got to understand, you know, when you love me, when you obey me, and you keep my commandments, he reveals stuff to you that blesses your socks off. You are just blessed. You're blessed because the scripture says you're blessed coming in and you're blessed coming out, because he's going to teach you and reveal to you truths that you have never known before. As the scripture says, he will reveal things that you know not of, about your family, about your life, about your choices, about your job. He will reveal so much to you, and you will just love him. And you'll wonder, how in the world was I walking the earth without knowing this type of intimacy? You wonder. I'm like, Lord Jesus. And I remember, because somebody else was praying for me. You know, People were praying for you. That's why you're still walking the earth. Because people were praying and keeping you safe until you came into the knowledge of the truth. So to hold sacred Christ's name as the bridegroom, you must fall in love with him. You, the bride, must hold sacred his preparation and cleansing as you fully become his new creation. If we give you the example of a bride, when that bride is getting ready for that wedding, I'm telling you, she is so careful with everything. When she gets her dress from the dressmaker, I mean, she doesn't just take that dress and just throw it in the back of the trunk. Oh, no, no, no. She has a special bag. It's not even the regular clothing bag. It is a special bag that she has it in. And you can see her carrying out so carefully and making sure that that dress stays so pristine. She makes sure that none of the pearls fall off that has been delicately placed there as she has been prepared. That dress was prepared just for her. She stood real still for the fitting, you know, as they made sure it fit her just right. She stood still. Can you imagine just standing still before God? He's trying to do something in you. And he's telling you, say, be still and know that I'm God. Amen. Be still. He's trying to, don't do anything. Be still and know that I am God. I've got this. And that's what you're doing. You're just standing there as he's preparing your dress. He's adorning the bride. You know, her veil. You know, she's making sure. She even has a bag for the veil. And, everything is just has to be so special. And she makes sure her hair is just right. And she's careful that after her hair is done, that nobody messes up her hair. You know, that don't even get near, and don't even let the children near me, okay, because I can't have hand and fingerprints all over my dress. Now, imagine your growth in Christ.
Amen.
See, the thing about our bridegroom, this bridegroom is helping to prepare the bride. He's like, no, don't go there. You're gonna get stains on your dress if you go there. Don't do that. Don't speak that. That's going to put a stain on your dress. And you guys, you hear it. You know the Holy Spirit when he's talking to you, that conviction. He's trying to keep you from getting all stained. Because he's adorning. He's adorning you. He's coming back for a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And I can't even imagine that. I said, Lord, my God, how is that going to happen? It happens because the bridegroom moves by his Spirit and works in you and changes you. So that you're so different. You're so different. I was playing that song before we started. Everything changed. I love that song by Andre Crouch. He said he was a certain way. And then everything changed when Christ came into my life. And if that's the way it is, folks, this is no fairy tale. This is no joke. I'm a witness. I'm not talking about what I read in a book. You know, I see some hands. This is not what I read in a book. Okay, he changed this girl. I talk about mean Karen because mean Karen was mean. And you don't want to hang out with mean Karen because she had an agenda all the time. And if you were in the way of the agenda, guess what? Okay, you got snubbed. Okay. You got cut off, Rita. Okay. You can't believe it because of what he did. See, because he did a work in me. He did a work in me. You know, and I know many of you can testify the same thing, that he did a work in you. And that's your adornment. Don't you see? That's those pearls. Every little trial you go through, that you come through with him, he places another little pearl on your adornment. So allow him to adorn you and get you ready. And, oh, boy, can you imagine? Oh, I mean, he just, oh, yeah, see, she made it through that one. Okay, yeah, she didn't mouth off. Okay, yeah, there we go. Okay. She didn't slap that one. Okay, let me. Oh, that deserves a diamond. We're going to put a diamond on that one because she didn't slap that one. Oh, come on, come on. Come on, we live on planet Earth, honey. Okay. But yeah, so you want to see this. You want to see this adornment that's going on. And you're holding sacred, just like that bride holding sacred that dress and that adornment. She takes care of it. As I said, she doesn't throw it in the back trunk. She hangs it up, and then she lets it lay over the seat. You know, nobody else is, no, you can't sit back here, okay? You need to, because my dress, You know, we take care of our relationship with Jesus Christ that way. We're careful with our relationship with Christ. So she treats it with care. You hold to the excitement of seeing the bridegroom because she's excited about her day. You love the words from his mouth. Then we go into this next section. I mean, these were a lot of the verses that were in our book we're talking about, had verses from the Song of Solomon. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, the Song of Solomon used to bother me, you know, as it did a lot of people. Like, what in the world is this doing in the Word of God? You know. But then I got it. When I was a young Christian, I didn't get it. I'm like, oh my God. You know, this must have just slipped in by accident, you know. But then I got it. When you talk about the bridegroom and your love for the bridegroom and what it talks about in the Song of Solomon, the love that comes out and how she sees this one that she loves. And these verses in Song of Solomon, I encourage you to look up. You love the words of his mouth. You long to hear him speak. I mean, you just love to hear him. You know, because he always comes. It's not just words. It's wisdom that you didn't know before. When he tells you things. I don't know. Have you had that experience when God will just tell you something? You were just racking your mind and couldn't figure it out. How am I going to do this? And then he'll speak something into you. And you're like, that's it. That's what I needed. See that? So she loves the words of his mouth. You love his fragrance. His presence, and to work to keep him close through praise, worship, his word. You know how you love somebody so much, you know, and you just love the way they smell. I mean, you just, you know, whether it's your spouse, whether it's your children, your baby. Oh, Lord, the babies. Oh, don't you love that baby smell? You know, maybe you brothers can't relate, but maybe you could. But women love that baby smell, man. You just love that little baby and their little breath, and you know, you just love everything about them. They're soft, they're cuddly, you know. And you know, after you've just given them a bath, and oh my goodness, you just don't. So little feetsies. I mean, you just.
I love them little feetsies.
Yeah. And that's what they're talking about in the Song of Solomon. You love his fragrance. You love his presence. And you know what? I'm going to tell you right now. You love his praise and worship. You're always wanting to sing. You got a song in your heart all the time. Your spirit is always singing about him. You're always thinking about him. Like, Lord, I just thank you. I just praise you. I've been around people that, you know, and I'm trying to get there. I'm getting there. You know, I'm getting there. People that just, oh, man, their mind is just elevated. You know, stayed on Jesus. And at first I was like, boy, that must be a chore to stay on Jesus all the time. That's what I thought. Because that's what you think. I'm just being honest. Because if you're there, I want to tell you what that's all about. Because, yeah, you do think it's a chore. You think, okay, so I got to think about it. I got to pray again. I got to think about it again. Got to go to church again. You know? But, boy, I'm telling you, you're in love with somebody. Oh, you just want to see. You are my sunshine. You just want to sing about them all the time. That song that I was playing, an undercut song, Everything Changed. I've been playing that song all week, and it just makes me tear up sometimes because I remember where I was, and then everything changed. Everything changed. And he has this line in the song that really ministers to me. He said, I never thought there could be happiness in this world for me, and then everything changed. Because I remember when I was there, and I didn't think there was going to be any happiness in this world. I had resolved that, okay, I'm just not going to be happy. And this was after I accepted Christ. I said, I'm just not going to be happy. I'm just going to just wait here until Jesus comes. I'm just going to wait, and then I'll be happy in heaven. And then he started to work. He just started to move. He kept filling me up. And I got to a place where I just fell in love with Jesus, and that thing just broke. Everything changed. You know, so there's some more everything changes coming in your life.
Yeah.
Those of you that don't love him, don't in love, there's more coming. There's more coming. You may feel like, okay, I accepted Christ, but still, oh well, I guess I can't do that anymore. And I can't do that. Keep growing in him. I'm telling you, everything will change in you. And you'll fall in love with the bridegroom like you have never fallen in love before. So you love his fragrance. You love the smell of him. And you get this through praise and worship. You love his word. You just want to read his word all the time. When you are in love, you will get up, go out, and seek out the one you love. When you're in love with Jesus, you will get up. I've got to pray before I leave today. I can't just be rushing out the door. I've got to pray. I got to meet with him before I leave today. Because I need him with me, so I have to go meet with him. You will make a great effort and take time to seek the lover of your soul. You know, the reference is in Song of Solomon 3:2. You're gonna seek him. Look for him. When you're in love, you see and appreciate the details of his beauty. Oh, wow. You know, see, we take so much for granted. I used to take so much for granted, just going and doing what I needed to do. Okay, all right, so, oh, yeah. It's snowing. Oh, the leaves are changing. Oh, the trees are budding. Oh, there's flowers. Oh, that's the way I used to be.
You hear the birds.
You hear the birds. Oh, the birds. Oh, boy. Waking me up. You know? Especially this time of year when the birds start just chirping on them. Waking me up. But now, I'm telling you, as his love grew in me, folks, as he started to fill me up and change me, and I like this because now the water's clearing up. I love that. As he started to change me, I tear up at a sunset now. Because I know he did not have to throw those colors in there. He did it for me. He did it because he knew I thought it would be beautiful. I think he put flowers on the earth just for the ease. For Eve, for the women. I think he just did that, okay? I mean, maybe there are men that like flowers too, but I just believe he said, I think he... As I look at the variety of flowers there are, I am amazed. I didn't know there was so many variety of flowers, you know?
Yeah.
I go to Walmart and I'm like, you didn't have this last year?
Yeah.
Had I known, I would have put that in my garden. You know, but it wasn't there last year. They can't bring them all in at the same time, so they kind of rotate the number of flowers, and I believe God does it. The bridegroom does it for his daughters. They will like it. You know, she's going to like this, so I'm going to put this sunset out there. Oh, they're going to like the way the snow just lays just right on the branches. I mean, it looks like somebody took a paintbrush some mornings. You know, I'm out in Pueblo West, and it just, like somebody just took a paintbrush and painted every branch. He did that for us.
Amen.
He made it beautiful. All the wonders that we see in this world, the Grand Canyon, Niagara Falls. I grew up in Niagara Falls, and I was amazed. I was like, you know, I'm amazed at everything. He didn't have to do all that. He could just throw some grass seeds out there, and they'll make it. But no, he paints and he beautifies the world for you. And when I realized that, you know, I tear up, I said, because I know that he loves me. He loves me enough to do that for me. He loves me enough to give me things. He loves me enough, you know, to put in the mind of people things to create that I would like. Brothers, when it comes to a car, some of y'all that in those cars, man, and oh man, that sweet ride. Don't you know he put it in the mind of people? Because you're going to like that. This person's going to like that. So I'm going to put it in their mind to create it just like this. Because humanity, we copy God, you know. All the colors we got, we copy him. We didn't create blue. We copy God's blue. All the things that you see, all the things that we can do, it's because we're copying our creator. We don't want to give him credit a lot of times, but we're copying what we see him do. The patterns that we see, everything you see, we copy the circle because we saw his circle. That sun in the sky, that's a circle. That's how we learn. I believe that's how we learn how to create a wheel. That might work, you know? So everything comes from him. Everything is his loving on us. You know, so I love when she's saying in what he's writing in the Song of Solomon about, you know, just appreciating the details of his beauty. I mean, I know I'm changed because there was a time I didn't appreciate the beauty. I was just had my agenda going. I couldn't stop, as they say, to smell the roses. I didn't have time for that. But now I appreciate a rose. I'm like, man, God, it's beautiful and it smells good. Wow.
You know, why did you take the time to do that type of detail for us? That's love. And I want you to understand how much he loves us. So that's the bridegroom. And just to be honest about us, sometimes we are afraid to love like this, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
You're afraid to love because you've been jaded, you've been hurt before, you know. But you can love, as I said before, you can. Some people are afraid to love like this because they're afraid of losing control. You know, I might lose control if I love somebody like this. I might just be giving all my stuff. I might be, you know, I might lose friends if I love like that. I mean, after all, this Jesus is well known. This bridegroom is well known. If everybody knows we're engaged, oh my goodness, I might lose some friends. They might call me some names. They may call me a religious nut. They may call me a Jesus freak. They may call me born again. I've heard that term, born again. Oh, there goes the born again. And if I love him like that, they may call me these things. And I don't know if I'm prepared to be called this stuff. I don't know if I love him that much that I want to be called something. I don't, that I'm going to lose my friends, my buddies, because my friends. Oh, I'll tell you, Christ, the bridegroom, he will take you through some things to show you who your real friends are. Is it not true? I don't know if you've been through some things. I've been through some things that showed me who my real friends were. I'm telling you. I remember when Jim Baker that ran PTL and he went through that whole scandal and went to prison. And I remember when he was being interviewed on one of the talk shows. And someone asked him, well, Jim, you lost a lot of friends, didn't you, when you went through this? And he said, I didn't lose any friends. I just found out who they really were.
Yep.
And I was like, wow, well said. Well said. Well said. The bridegroom will allow you to have some relationships so you can find out who really loves you. See, the bridegroom really loves you.
Right.
But you don't believe that. So he'll have you go through things so you can find out who really loves you. So we love the bridegroom. You should understand the bridegroom's patient love. Oh my goodness. He will suffer long as you grow up in him. He will wait. Oh God, he waited for me. He waited. And he will wait. He has a patient love. And the scripture says he rejoices for what you will be one day and loves where you were, and loves you where you are now. And the scripture says, but you, O Lord, are a God of compassion and mercy, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. And he is. He's slow to anger. Folks, if he was quick to anger, none of us would be here today. None of us. If he was quick to anger and if he was not merciful, none of us would be here. For God so loved the world. He gives us air to breathe and food to eat, even as we curse him. And even as we do all kinds of crazy things and evil and wicked things, he still has his patient love. He sustains our lives, even through all of that. The bridegroom stands by to comfort you, even when you turn away from him in your pain. Because we often do that. You know, when you're hurt, that's when you turn away from the one you love. Often that happens. When people are hurt, man, they get angry and they don't want anybody. They turn away from the one that loves them the most. And that's what we do to God so often when we are in pain. And especially if we have reason in our mind that he is at fault because he is all powerful. And why did he come in and change this? And why did he let this happen? You know, and so many times we don't even understand. We don't have all the information. You know, and sometimes it's our fault. But we still blame him. And he's his patient love. He doesn't reject us. but he's patiently loving us, bringing us to a place of understanding, because we just don't understand the way of things. Even when you blame him for the pain of this world, he remains to comfort you. And the scripture says this, for even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. Who reproach you, he's talking to his father. The reproaches of those that reproach my father fell on me, Christ. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus. And in first it describes how Christ was. Christ took the reproach for his father. He took it. He took it. He was tortured. He went through all of this stuff because the father told me to do it. I do what the Father tells me to do. I could have called. He still had all power in his hand to call down 10,000 angels or more to rescue him from crucifixion, but he did not. The reproach of my Father falls on me. The command of my Father is falling on me, but I take it. And then he commands us to do the same. The reproach of Christ is going to fall on you. Are you going to take it? Are you going to take it? Especially in this day and age. Oh boy, it's getting more and more hostile out there for the born again. I heard some of even the political candidates. Some of them are their platform is that they're going to deal with us. They don't call us out by name, but they deal with us that have a certain opinion about things or certain beliefs about things. So it's getting more hostile. So again, your love for the bridegroom at this day and age is critical. Because if you don't, it's going to be tested. If you don't love him, it's going to show. If you don't want the reproach of him coming on you, it's going to show. It's going to show. So again, and if you're there, as I said, if you're there, first, number one, recognize you're there. Don't deny you're there. Jesus knows you're there. You know, you're not going to hurt his feelings just by admitting it, because he knows you're there. But the first thing you have to admit it. You don't need to play good Christian and all deep Christian, I should say, deep, all deep. You know, and you don't really love him, and you know that if somebody told you to deny Christ or I'm going to do this, okay? I'm with you over here. It's happened. It happens in other parts of the world, yeah. God's not dead too. Same thing happening, okay. You know, it's happening already in other parts of the country. People are being martyred for the case for the name of Christ. It's not so far-fetched for it to be in the United States of America. I tell you. You know, I remember the Columbine tragedy that happened years ago, and I remember the testimony of that one girl that said that she was told to deny Christ in that library, and she would not deny Christ, and they shot her. Wow, a teenager with that much conviction and love for Christ. Boy, could we do the same? Could we do the same? So again, with this love for the bridegroom, and as I said, if you're not there, keep growing. Keep growing. You want to get there. God of love and peace. It says, finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. As we hold to the bridegroom's love, we will know peace. We will know peace. You don't have to, you know, I think one of the main things I'm going to regret in heaven one day is that I didn't walk in his peace more. I worry too much. I stress too much about things when he always had it in his hand. He had my life in his hand. He had my tomorrows in his hand. And I think I would regret, man, I could have been happy that day. I could have had some peace that day. You know, I could have had me a good day. But instead, I spent it pacing the floor and worrying and stressing. I think that's the one regret I might that we didn't trust him more. But I tell you, as when you know somebody loves you, you have peace. Especially the one that loves you is the one with all power in his hand. The one that loves you is victorious over any enemy you will ever face in all of eternity. He has victory over that, and he loves you. I was watching this show the other day that was on TV, and they were talking, it was based on the Greeks, the Greek culture before, and where they worship all these gods, all these idols, you know, Venus and Apollo and all these things, and all these things that they worship, you know. And the thing about it is, I was watching these people, you know, their worship was different. Their worship wasn't about a God that loved them, the gods that loved them. It was like, oh, let's do this to appease the gods. Yeah. Let's, if we do this to appease the gods, then the gods will help us do this. Let's do this to, you know, oh, I'm giving the offering. I'm burning incense because I want to appease the gods. And I was like, how sad. Yeah. And then I went to the book of Acts, and I was reading about Paul when Paul was talking to the Greeks. And remember, they had one place for the unknown God. Can you imagine how they felt? Really? Can you imagine how they felt when they heard about the God that actually loved them? While I was yet a sinner, he loved me. Even when I don't burn incense and appease him, he still loves me and takes care of me. Wow, what a difference. As I said, with them, it was just a business transaction. I'm going to burn these incense, and then I'm going to go to battle, and you're going to help me. That's what they believed, that, you know. But the bridegroom is different. He loves me anyways. Even when I mess up, even when I do fail to love on him and to worship him, he still loves me. He still takes care of me. Wow, I can imagine. I was thinking about that. I said, boy, what a change it must have been for the Greeks to hear such a gospel. You mean a God came down and loved us enough to die for us? I mean, that was probably the gods don't do that. The gods stay up in the clouds and they look down upon us. And they, you know, they're more powerful than us. And if they want to kill us, they kill us. And, you know, and then to hear about this God who allowed us to beat him and whip him and nail him to a cross when he did not have to do it. Can you imagine that good news when the Greeks heard that? So many of us, you know, we still have gods that we and idols we worship today. Well, you got to do this, this, and this if you want to make it in this world. Oh, you got to do this. You got to, oh boy, you need so much money. You need so much status. You need, if I don't have this, then I don't have this friend. I don't have my rich friends. If I'm not rich, I, you know, all these idols. But to know that I love you, no matter how you are, you could be the poorest of poor, and I love you. The scripture says a sparrow does not fall to the ground and he does not know it. So you can imagine how much he loves you. And that's hard to wrap our brain around in this world where there's so much anger and there's so much hatred and there's so much betrayal. How can he love me? Why would he love me? He has power. People that I know that have power, they mistreat me and they abuse me and they use me. So how can I understand this God that has all power in his hand loving me for no reason that I can understand? See, that's our issue with humanity. We have to, our thinking is so jacked up.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You get jacked up in this world, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
From the time you take your first breath, honey, you get jacked up. By the time you're an adult or even a teenager, man, you're in a defense mode. You know, you're suspicious of everybody. You know? So this Jesus person coming, talking about, I love you. Well, we'll see how much you love me. And he patiently waits. Yeah, what do you want? What do you want to take from me is what we think. But he gives and he gives and he gives and he gives. And the more I understand how much he sustains me, I can't get over Colossians 1 that says, by him all things consist and hold together. And boy, when I learned about it, when I went to start learning about biology and how the cells work together, and then the cells are broken down into the atoms, and I talked about that atom is just makes up everything that we know. The atom makes it up. And I'm like, how is that holding together? You know, those electrons floating around that proton. Oh, and then they tried to split it. They tried to split it, folks. They did split it. Actually, they didn't try. They did. Now, we had a nuclear blast.
Yeah.
Don't you know they unleashed the power of God?
Yeah.
By him, all things consist and hold together. And he does it because he chooses to do it. You can try to wrap your brain around all you want, but you will never understand him unless you just fall into his love. Trust it. I implore you to trust it. You're talking to a witness here.
Amen.
He can be trusted with your life.
Yes. Amen.
In fact, he can be trusted more than you can be trusted with your life. Because
yes.
You will make some bad decisions for yourself. He can be trusted with your life. So we want to know him this way. You want to know, you want to experience God. When you are assured of the bridegroom's love and you love him in return, you will experience a peace you have never known before in this life. To be assured of being loved by the God of the universe brings overwhelming peace. You are the beloved of the King of Kings. Do you understand that? You are the beloved of the King of Kings. Wow. And only God can love us individually like he does. I believe there's over 7 billion of us on the planet, but he loves each and every one of you individually. I'm amazed at how he responds to my little stuff. I'm like, man, God, I didn't even speak that out loud. But I knew you were thinking about it. So here you are. Boy, and he gives. He just gives you so much, things you don't deserve. Next point. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. There we go back to the intimacy thing again. You in him, he in you. That's intimacy. That is a closeness that you cannot know by, have known with anybody else except with God. The last point, the head of the body. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. That means the superior standing in everything concerning you. The bridegroom died for the bride so that he could have the position of preeminence or lordship over all. He had to die. We had a debt that needed to be paid. The bride had a debt, okay? She owed. She had given this world over to an evil taskmaster. And she had a debt to that taskmaster. So Jesus had to do what he did. I got to pay this debt for the bride, for my beloved. I have to pay the debt for my beloved. So I'm going to go through all of this. Oh, wow. For my beloved. Therefore, he can and does protect the bride fully. He had to get preeminence. Remember, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Because he paid the price. He paid the debt. I heard one preacher said he went down to heaven and he snatched the keys from Satan. I love to hear he snatched those keys. So that he could take care of his bride fully. not just in the physical, but in the spiritual, because that's where we were really messed up, surrounded by the hordes of hell. But Jesus, he rose with all power in his hand. So at the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, demons flee, because he has preeminence. And he did it so that he could take care of his bride. You got to get this. I mean, you got to get this connection. No entity can defeat him, and his bride is eternally safe. See, this is not just a temporary thing. This is not just while you're on earth. He took care of it all through eternity. So when you transition out of this life, guess what? He still got you covered. Okay, he's got you covered. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, when you transition home, I'm waiting on those angels. Those angels are going to carry me on to glory. I'm telling you. He said, I got your ride. I got your ride. Don't worry, I got your ride. Nothing can hurt you. You know, he said, don't be afraid of those that hurt the body. Oh, man. Before Christ came, humanity was vulnerable. Oh my goodness. For we had given our authority over the earth to an evil taskmaster, Satan. We had no means of escape until the bridegroom came. No, don't mess up my big finish, Mary.
I'm dancing already.
And Mary's already reading that last line. And I'm telling you, yes, he will come again. He will come again to take her home. I'm telling you, you all can doubt the rapture if you want to. You can. But his love compels him to come back. You think he did all of this and he's not coming back for his bride? Oh, yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is. You can be goofing off if you want to, but I know his love compels him to come back. If he loves me enough to put colors in a sunrise and to put fragrance in a flower,
Yeah. Oh,
I know he's coming back. Yes. He's not leaving me here. He is coming back.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Any comments, any questions?
After all, this is a class, so.
You know I have a lot of.
I know you do. I know you.
But the thing is, everything you said is true. But when I read the scriptures, one of the things is I know how much God loves us. He sent His only begotten Son. Mm-hmm. We were all under God's wrath. Mm-hmm. So He loved us so much that He sent His Son to bring us off under His wrath, to restore our soul,
yes,
to restore our spirit, to restore us back to Him.
Yes.
And the more you dig in the Word, like you said, I like what you had there, because that was in my mind. And the more we allow God to grow in us, the more closer we get to Him, draw to Him, He draws to us. And the more closer we get to Him, the more we recognize His love. Now, my wife said something interesting. When we got married, I loved her.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to know something? Mm-hmm. I love her more.
Yes.
And it's because of Christ.
Yes.
Now it's the love of Christ.
Yes.
It's not the love of the flesh. It's not the love of what she can fulfill. Because that void, like you said, she couldn't fulfill the rest of that void. Mm-hmm. That space. The space, there was a little space left in my heart for her.
Yes.
But the whole space is God Himself.
God. Yes.
So now you cannot love anybody in this world without God's love.
Yes.
What the world think is love is not love.
Mm-hmm.
It's not love.
Yes.
And I've learned that. And the more I grow, the more I change.
Yes.
It's a choice.
Yes.
I made the choice. It's not, I made you, gave me a free will to make the choice to know you. Whether I want to do it or not, I'm going to do it.
Yes.
And the more I did it, the more God continued to change me.
Amen.
And that's right.
Yes. Everything changed. Everything changed when Christ came into my life. Any other comments?
And you were saying about smelling the roses and looking at the flowers and, you know, looking at all this stuff.
Amen.
Without the Spirit, you can't.
Yeah. You take it for granted.
Well, you can't. You don't even, you're just surviving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking from myself, you know. Mm-hmm. When you're so lost and so messed up and you don't have the spirit within you that gives you this desire to smell the roses, you can't. Mm-hmm. We're just not there. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think to myself, and then you were talking about the idols. Why do you think Jesus hated idolatry so much?
Yes.
Because he knew we could get swayed in that way.